Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Daisy, for reading. Thank you, Lixie, for reading the Bible for us. Let me get myself organized, and let's pray together that God will speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you that your presence to Zacchaeus was life. Lord, life that transformed him. And Lord, we pray now that you would be present in our midst, that you'd make yourself known, that we might see your grace and love, that our lives will be transformed by it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever lost something that you searched for days? I lose these are my wireless earbuds. I don't know if you have one of these. I lose these things all the time. And because I love listening to music, podcast sermons or whatever, if I lose one of these, I just search for them for hours and for days. And that's the thing about losing things. When you search for things that you care about, if I lose a pencil or pocket change or something, I don't even know that I've lost them. But if I lose one of these, the things that I care about, it'll drive me nuts until I find them. Actually, we come today to the heart of the Gospel of Luke, the mission statement of Jesus in chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. God searches for us. He searches after us, and that's why he became a man. And this verse comes in the context of a story that we all know very well, the story of Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus was searching for Jesus, this little man climbing up to the top of the sycamore tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus, and how he searches for Jesus. But what's surprising is not just that he searches for Jesus, that Jesus has been searching for him and people like him. And last week we heard how it's impossible for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. This week we hear how it is possible with God. All things are possible with God. And we see how as Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' life, he joyfully responds to the gospel, to Jesus. So Zacchaeus searches for Jesus. I wonder how you'd like to be remembered for your life. What would you like to put on your tombstones? You know, in these tombstones, sometimes they have these epitaphs that really summarizes a person's life really well. For example, here is one of Martin Luther King Jr. It says, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last." That sort of encapsulates his life. Here's another one from Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Tasmanian Devil. Yeah, on his, it says, "Man of 10,000 man of 1,000 voices, beloved husband and father." Here's a slightly funny one of Susan Melody Blanchard, "Destined to be a woman with too many cats." There's a statue of Cat on the top of the tombstone. Now, this is how Luke summarizes Zacchaeus' life in verse 2. Verse 2, a chief collector, and chief tax collector, and wealthy. A chief tax collector and wealthy. And that's what he was. And not all jobs define who you are, but some jobs do. Some of you are accountants. If you're an accountant, I imagine that's not something that consumes you. I think that's a job. Or if you're, you know, a manager in a logistics company, that's a job that you do. But if you're a Marine in the U.S. military, that defines who you are. If you're a chief tax collector, being a tax collector, it defines who you are. It's a lifestyle. It's not something that you do on the side. At this time, tax collection was done as a franchise model. What the Roman Empire did was they sold these rights for these different tax collectors bidding. And if, as they bid for the contract, the Roman government awarded the right to collect taxes for these people. And they said, you can collect this much, for you give that to me, to the government. And whatever else you get to keep yourself. So it's a system that awarded extortion and corruption, right? So people got rich off of it. So, and while also they weren't government officials, they had the backing of the muscle of the Roman army. So if you failed to fail to pay your taxes, they would then go to the Roman army. And the Roman army would come and break down your doors and collect whatever you requested. So these men were hated. It was bad enough that Zacchaeus was a tax collector, the chief tax collector, but he was wealthy tax collector. He got wealthy off the backs of his own people. This means, likely, that he didn't care about his people. He didn't really care about being a Jew anymore. He didn't care about his country anymore. He didn't care about his popularity anymore. All he had was a wall of money. When he felt lonely, I'm sure he looked at the wall of money that he had and go, well, at least I have these. Money was everything to him, and the job defined him. But when Jesus came to town, he sought Jesus out. He made the effort to come. Maybe he was just curious. Jesus was a big deal. He drew a big crowd. But I don't think that explains the effort that Zacchaeus makes to go and see Jesus. Important men at that time did not run, but we see that he's running. He runs ahead to get there. And then not only did he run, he climbs the top of the sycamore tree to just get a glimpse of Jesus. And remember, he was a hated man, a known man. He's opening himself up to ridicule, to people outside. No, I think he wasn't just curious. He wanted, more likely, he was searching. Maybe searching for a deeper meaning of life. Searching for redemption. You see, he wasn't just a chief tax collector who was wealthy. Jesus actually adds another descriptor to who Zacchaeus was in verse 10. Chief tax collector, wealthy, and lost. He is lost. You could have all the money in the world and still be lost. You could have everything in this world and you can still be lost. So this lost man sought Jesus, searched after Jesus. I wonder if some of you are in that position. Maybe you are searching. Not because there's something wrong with your life. You actually have everything that you want. You have a career that you want, the life that you want, a family that you want. But you find that actually something is missing. Something is not complete, that you are still lost. Something's not quite right. Friends, you could still be successful and be lost. And thank, if you are one of those people, thank you so much for coming to church. This is the place to search after Jesus, search for a deeper meaning and redemption and life that is found in Christ. Some of you sometimes feel this way, that you're not worthy of searching for Jesus. You're not worthy of Jesus. And what this story tells us, what this story of Zacchaeus tells us, is that that anyone can search for Jesus. A while back, I remember asking someone to come to church, and his answer was, "Well, actually, I'm not good enough." And I could see what he mean. He was a gambler. He was addicted to gambling. He had affairs. He was addicted to money. He had drug problems. But what Zacchaeus' story shows is that anyone can search for Jesus, and Jesus will welcome anyone when you come to him. But it might cost you something. It might cost you something. For Zacchaeus, he was running, losing face, climbing up the tree like a little child. That was the cost for him. But, you know, it's worth the search, worth making the search. Larry Sanger, the founder of Wikipedia, just became a Christian. And he wrote 200,000-word essay outlining the process by which he became a Christian. And it took him 5 years. In 2019, he said he was curious and he started to read the Bible. He started to read Christian theology. He started to go into it. And he started to find what surprised him most as he started to read the Bible was that how coherent it was, how it made sense to him. And for 5 years, he searched after Jesus. And he recently now has become a Christian. He went through 90-day YouVersion reading plan to go through the whole of the Bible. He used the ESV Study Bible and some commentaries. Now, friends, if you are searching, make the effort to search. You know, sometimes people come to church and they say they're searching for Jesus and I give them a book. And then, you know, a month later, I check. Have you read the book? Not really. People search after Jesus. They won't even come to church. They won't even come to Christianity Explored. Friends, make the effort to search for Jesus. Like Larry Sanger, pick up the Bible. Start reading through it. Pick up a Gospel of Mark. Start reading through it. Seek and you will find. And Jesus says in John 6 that he will not turn away anyone who comes to him. And if you are a Christian here, I hope you also don't give up on your friends who you think has everything together. Maybe your friend is successful and wealthy and healthy. There's nothing, this person feels like he has everything. Friends, you could have everything and still be lost. And out behind that exterior, you could be searching. So look up for those people. Pray for your friends. Anyone can be searching for Christ. So reach out to them as well. So Zacchaeus runs. He climbs the top of the tree to search for Jesus. But what's surprising here is that Jesus had also been searching for Zacchaeus. Jesus was searching after him. And this is probably, I mean, in the narrative of Gospel of Luke, it's about 5 days away from him being crucified or entering Jerusalem. He's not that far away from dying. You know, if you only had a few days to live, what would you do with your life? Wouldn't you spend it with your family? Wouldn't you spend the time with the people that you love the most or tick off some things on your bucket list? But with few days left on earth, Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' home. He searches after Zacchaeus. That's what he did. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And you can see that this wasn't an accidental trip. Each step, I think, was deliberate. When Jesus reaches to the spot where Zacchaeus was, he looks up and sees Zacchaeus. And he doesn't just say, "Hey, you, what are you doing up there?" He knows his name, Zacchaeus. And he doesn't ask Zacchaeus what to do. He commands Zacchaeus to come down immediately, and he says, "I must stay at your house today. I must stay with you now." This was his plan all along. You know, if there was some social cost to Zacchaeus searching after Jesus, Jesus' social cost is greater, isn't it? He's the respected rabbi. Now he's going into the house of a known sinner, chief collector, somebody whom everybody hates. And eating in that culture was being friends, approving them. Maybe it was seen as endorsing their lifestyle. But that wasn't the real cost. People murmuring, look, he's eating with these sinners. No, we know what the real cost of seeking after the lost. In order to seek and to save the lost, God became, the second person of the Trinity became a human being forever. He was born in a manger, and he in poverty, and he lived fulfilling everything that we are supposed to do. And he grew up, kept himself pure so that he could die on the cross for us. And that is the real cost. He was heading to the cross. Friends, what this says is that we're not just some earbuds, you know, designed and made to fulfill some function. No, we're created in God's image to be in relationship to him, to be loved by him, to enjoy eternity by him. And that's why God came, the second person of the Trinity, took on humanity to search after us, to die for us, so that we could have a relationship with him. Zacchaeus, this man, wasn't considered even a Jew anymore. And look what Jesus being with him does to him. Verse 9, look at how Jesus restores him. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. He's a son of Abraham. He's restored. He's welcomed back to be part of God's chosen people. All the promise made to Abraham is fulfilled through Jesus, and through Jesus, he's included. Through Jesus, he became a child of faith. Friends, no matter what you've done in the past, or no matter what you are doing, what defines you is your relationship to Jesus. If you have a relationship to Jesus, that determines your status in God's kingdom. You are a child of God. You're a son and daughter of God because of your relationship to Christ. And if you think you're one of these people who ask, you know, God, does God actually care about a person like me? Does God care? Me, a sinner, me, an outsider, me, a nobody. Does God care? The answer is yes, yes, yes. God cares for you. God knows your name. And for the Christians who are here, God has called you by name to himself, to relationship with him. And in the Gospel of Luke, Luke makes this point crystal clear. Jesus isn't just for the rich and the righteous and the good, quote-unquote, people. He's for the shepherds. He's for the sinners and Gentiles, Samaritans, the poor, the women, the children, criminals, lepers. They're all named as people who are included in God's kingdom. And if they are included, you are included too. God knows your name. God is seeking after you. And if you're not yet a Christian, today, I hope you will say the prayer. You know the prayer to say to God, God, I am a sinner, but I want to be yours. Come into my life and fill me, and he will do that for you, and your life will change. Your status in front of God will change because of his presence in your life. And that's what Zacchaeus felt and knew that moment when Jesus came to his house. And he responds with such joy. Take a look at verse 6. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He is delighted to have Jesus. He can't believe it. Out of all the thousands of people in Jericho, Jesus chose me, chose my house to stay in. And when people began to mutter, Zacchaeus stood up and declares, verse 8, to give away half of his possessions. And this wasn't half of what he earned. Half of all he had, half of his net worth. He says, I'm going to give half of what I have away. And if I cheated anyone, I'll pay them back four times more. The law, according to Leviticus chapter 6, 5, is to pay 20% more than what you had stolen. But four times more. This isn't just doing the bare minimum. Remember last week when the rich young man came to Jesus and the question that he asked, Jesus, Rabbi, good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What he's asking is, what's the minimum? What's the requirement that I must do so I can get to God's kingdom? I mean, this reminds me of like me when I was in high school. I used to try to just do the minimum. If A was 90, I would try to get 89.6. So 0.6 would be rounded up to 90. that was my attitude in life. I just wanted to do the minimum to get in, to seem like I'm doing well. But this Zacchaeus, he's not trying to do the minimum. He's not trying to do anything. You know what he's doing? He's responding to what God has done, what Jesus has done. Jesus has filled him, not just his house, but his head, his heart is filled with grace, and he's responding to God's grace that's overflowing. You know, my dad says one of the differences between an adult and a child is a child knows how to let go. You know, even when for an adult, even if you give them something better, you know, we as adults, we want to have both, you know, just in case, you know, we want to keep this and the new thing that's being offered. But a child, you know, if this is a picture of, if he's playing with a teddy bear or something, and somebody goes, oh, here's a car. You know what he does with the teddy bear? He just drops it, and then he runs to the brand new car. Actually, Tommy, my two-year-old, does this with food. So he's like chewing rice, and then if somebody goes, oh, here's some ice cream, you know what he does with food? He doesn't wait to swallow the food. He just goes, whack. Because he wants the ice cream. Zacchaeus, the chief wealthy tax collector, is like this child. Jesus has come into his life. He ran to see Jesus. He climbed the top of the tree, and he immediately comes down and welcomed Christ. And now that he has Christ in his heart, in his house, what had gripped him before, he loses interest anymore. This man who didn't care about being a Jew, who didn't care about the sufferings of his own people, who hid behind the wall of money that he had, now money means nothing to him. He's lost, but he's found. It is impossible for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. But with God, it is possible. With Christ, it is possible. When Christ comes into your life, idols lose their power. We come to know the goodness of Christ. Church, I wonder if you have embraced the gospel like Zacchaeus had. Martin Luther, the great reformer, says in order for a person to be converted, a person needs three conversions: conversion of his heart, conversion of his head, and conversion of his wallet. And conversion of his wallet comes the slowest. Have you been converted in your head, in your heart, in your wallet? And it's not just money, right? It's everything. It's everything that grips you. Have you been converted so that you now have let go of the idols in your life, that it doesn't mean anymore? Those things don't mean a great deal anymore because you know Jesus. And that is my prayer for all of us. You know, I could go and preach, continue to say, you know, you need to let go, you need to surrender. You need to think about all the things that you need to surrender. And that is a good exercise to do. But we can't just easily surrender things because by our own effort, just by thinking through it. No, we need to fill our hearts with the gospel, the goodness of Jesus. And if you look back to Ephesians, we did Ephesians series, a few months back. But Paul knew this. And Paul, throughout his letter, he prays. He's praying for the church. And remember the content of his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3? This is what he prayed for, and this is my prayer for all of you. Here's Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's pray. Lord, this is my prayer for me and for our church, for all the people here. Lord, give us the power through the Spirit to know how wide and high, wide and long is the love of Christ. Lord, may Christ dwell richly in our hearts. And so that all these other things that mean so much to us will mean nothing compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ as our Lord. And Lord, for some of us who have not actually invited you into our hearts now, we pray now that by the power of your Spirit, you would convict them, that they too would invite you to come, that you would fill their hearts, and that they might know the joy of knowing you now and for eternity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.